This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. My brothers and sisters, welcome to our tafsir of Surah Taha. Alhamdulillah, we had finished off at the dua of Musa alayhi salam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after Allah had made him responsible over going to Fir'aun and giving him da'wah. And we know that Musa alayhi salam asked Allah for a few things. Asked him to open up his chest and make him very positive. Asked him to ease his affairs, to remove the impediment that he had in his speech, to help him with his brother as his helper, as his personal assistant. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported him with more than that, with an army that was unseen. And with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being there and supporting him at every step and speaking to him, to his heart, and telling him that which is between him and Allah azza wa jal alone. So alhamdulillah, let's carry on with that story. And inshallah ta'ala, we will hear more about what happened to Musa alayhi salam. Tayyib. So we stopped at where did we stop up? Yes, the dua of Musa alayhi salam. Tayyib. Qala qad utita su'laka ya Musa. So Allah azza wa jalla said, verily I have given you what you have asked for, ya Musa. And you know, this is the amazing thing, is that when you ask Allah Azza wa Jalla in very general terms, and you ask Him right at the point of Allah Azza wa Jalla giving you an obligation, or at the point of you starting on a ibadah to Allah Azza wa Jalla, when you started on the ibadah, you're actually in the ibadah. And that's what the ulama say, that the time of making dua is actually whilst you're doing the ibadah. So whilst you're praying, make the dua. Whilst you're doing your hajj and umrah, make the dua, right? Whilst you're traveling to talab al-ilm to gain knowledge, make the dua, because you're in ibadah. So it was at that point, whilst Allah had made it obligatory on him to go to Fir'aun and give da'wah, that Musa alayhi salam made the dua, and Allah accepted everything. So it's very important that we use that time to make dua, because it is a special time of taklif, of obligation, and it is a time when Allah azza wa jal accepts dua. قَالَ قَدْ أُوتِيتَ سُؤْلَكَ يَا مُوسَى. You've been given what you've asked for, ya Musa. وَلَقَدْ مَنَنَّ عَلَيْكَ مَرَّةً أُخْرَى. And I want to remind you that you should believe in my promise, because I had blessed you before this as well. And the reason for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminding his slaves of his previous blessings is for a number of reasons. Number one is so that you have more tawakkul on Allah azza wa jalla, to perfect your tawakkul. And perfection of tawakkul cannot come unless you actually remember how many times Allah azza wa jalla has already been truthful and fulfilled his blessings and his promise to you. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to believe in Allah's promise to him, that that inshallah what is going to come to him is going to be very good. So he says, وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. And indeed the hereafter that is coming is better for you, and indeed Allah will give you more so that you are happy. So here Allah tells the Prophet that He will give him. Then He gives him examples of why to believe Him. And the reason why we should believe Allah is because in the past, Allah did look after the Prophet ﷺ. أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. Did I not find you as an orphan, look after you? وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. And didn't I find you misguided and we guided you? وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. And did we not find you poor and miserly in a destitute state? And did we not give you wealth and health and look after your affairs? So here Allah Azza wa Jalla reminds the prophets of God of his blessings in order so that they may increase in the tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so that inshallah ta'ala they may have more trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshallah therefore be able to deliver their message with a lot more vigor. And you know, the confidence of a person is known by the way he speaks. And if a person truly feels confident in his heart, his speech will be confident, and so he will sound strong. And that is why the messengers of God, because they had some very, very difficult task on their hands, they were asked to have tremendous tawakkul on Allah Azza wa Jal. And so Allah helped them to prepare the tawakkul in their heart with this, with the ikhbar of the previous, or with the information of the previous blessings Allah had given. So Allah says, وَلَقَدْ مَنَنَّ عَلَيْكَ مَرَّةً أُخْرَى. And indeed we had given you tremendous blessings before as well. إِذْ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّكَ مَا يُوحَىٰ. When it was revealed to your mother, what was revealed. So what happened was, the Pharaoh at that time saw a dream that there would be born a human being who would then take over the affairs of Egypt. So what did he do? He therefore spoke to his confederates and to his people in his court, and they came up and schemed a plan that they would kill every newborn that particular year. So they took all the newborns, they slashed their wrists, they cut their throats, and they killed the newborn, subhanAllah. So the mother of Musa alayhi salam was very, very worried. So what was revealed was that an angel came to Musa's mother and said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you to do the following. What was told to her? Aniqdhifihi fit tabut. Put Musa alayhi salam into a chest. And you know, a chest is amazing, because who would put a child in a chest of drawers? But Allah's messenger was told to be put into a chest of drawers, and it has special significance, because you don't want to put him into something which could topple over and the water could go in. But Allah wanted to protect him, so into a chest. And subhanAllah, the blessings and mercy of Allah is that the chest was porous and there was some air that could come in, but at the same time it was quite stable and heavy at the bottom so that it would not topple over, and so the baby wouldn't be harmed. أَنِقَذِفِهِ فِي التَّابُوتِ. Put him in the chest. فَأَقْذِفِيهِ فِي الْيَمْ. So, and then throw him into the yam. Yam is the river, and what is being referred to here is the Nile. Throw him into the Nile. فَلْيُلْقِيهِ الْيَمُّ بِالسَّاحِلِ. Then the river will then push this chest out into the banks. I mean, out of the mercy of Allah, the river will not keep on taking it all the way down and then destroy it on these rocks, but rather the river will inshallah push the chest into its sahil, into its banks. يَأْخُذُهُ عَدُوٌ لِي وَعَدُوٌ لَهُ. And then this chest will be taken by an enemy of him, an enemy of us. Meaning the gods of Fir'aun, who are the enemies of God, and who are the army of Fir'aun, they found this chest. And then they gave it to the wife of Fir'aun, Asiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Asiya showed it to Fir'aun, and Fir'aun was amazed to find a little baby inside. And this is the attitude of tyrants. They say something, but then when they see it in front of them, sometimes they recant what they said. They are tyrants with their words, but sometimes, even the worst of tyrants can have a little bit of mercy in their hearts. And so what did Allah do? And perhaps it is for this reason, for a little bit of mercy in the heart of Fir'aun, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not destroy him straight away, even though he was killing so many orphans and so many children. What did he do? He gave him respite until an appointed time when Allah would then destroy him and take him to account. So, يَأْخُذُهُ عَدُوٌّ لِي عَدُوٌّ لَهُ. So therefore it came to the attention of Fir'aun that this baby was there. And the baby was very beautiful, very exquisite. And so as a result, Fir'aun really felt it within himself to actually adopt this baby. So what did he do? He adopted the baby. And at that point, friend of Asiya, who happened to be the sister of Harun, of his sister of Musa, alayhi salam, spoke to her and said, "Hal adullukum ala ma yakfulu." So look at what Allah says: "Wa alqaytu alayka mahabbatan minni," and we bestowed upon you love and mercy from me. وَلِتُصْنِعَ عَلَىٰ عَيْنِي. And so that you may develop and grow under my care, under my eyes, which shows therefore Allah has eyes, and also it's an expression that shows that you will grow up under my care, under the watchful, rearful eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِنِّي is an evidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enveloped the Messenger of Allah Musa alayhi salam with mercy and love. And that is why I told you that this surah is all about the love of Allah for this messenger. And even at a young age, before he was even a messenger of God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala threw upon him so much love and saved him from the terrible torment and looked after him even as a child. And this is why Musa alayhi salam was so eager to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he truly felt that love that emanated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِنِّي, and we put upon you love from me. وَلِتُسْنِعَ عَلَىٰ عَيْنِي, so that you may grow up upon my eyes. إِذْ تَمْشِي أُخْتُكَ, and remember when your sister came. فَتَقُولُ, and she said to the wife of Fir'aun, هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ مَنْ يَكْفُلُ, shall I show you to someone who will look after him? Because a small child needs milk. And so you need a wet nurse.
So she said, I know a wet nurse who can really look after. And so what did she do? فَرَجَعْنَاكَ إِلَىٰ أُمِّكَ. So we returned you back to your mother. How beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the mother of Musa to trust Allah. And she trusted Allah, threw her son away. It's very hard to do. Can you imagine? But this is what you need to do to trust Allah azza wa jal. Because now look at what happened. The son comes back to the mother. And on top of that, under the watchful, rearful eye of the king of the land, on top of that, the king of the land pays her. Pays her to look after her own son. Can you imagine? And this is why, ikhwati, we really must trust Allah. We have to trust Allah. You know, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma naqasa malu min sadaqah." Wealth is never decreased through sadaqah. Trust Allah and give that wealth. Trust Allah and give that sadaqah. Allah will return it to you somehow or the other. Allah will return it to you, and do not ever think Allah won't return it. Allah will. Rabbana Kareem, Rabbana Kareem. Rabbana is Kareem. He will return it to you. Believe in the promise of Allah. Mother of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, radiallahu ta'ala anha, believed in the promise of Allah azza wa jal. So this is what we should do as well. Whenever Allah tells us something, believe in His promise, and indeed Allah's promise will never be broken. طيب. So what did he say? فَرَجَعْنَاكَ إِلَىٰ أُمِّكَ. So we returned you back to your mother. كَيْ تَقَرُّ عَيْنُهَا وَلَا تَحْزَنُ. So that her eyes may be, تَقَرُّ عَيْنُهَا means, so that her eyes may be rested, which basically means that her heart may be rested, and so that she is not anxious or depressed. لَا تَحْزَنُ, so that she is not sad. وَقَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا. And remember when you grew up, then you killed that man. So what actually happened was, Musa alayhi wasalam had grown up and he had a lot of strength in his body. And when he grew up, he saw the guards of Fir'aun one day was abusing one of the Hebrew slaves. And when he saw that, he got angry and he pushed the guard. And all he wanted to do really is to stop the guard from actually hurting that man. But then because he pushed that man so hard, the guard went and he fell and he broke his neck. So Allah says, وَقَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا, but he still pushed him, right? So as a result, therefore, yes, the killer was still Musa alayhi wasallam. وَقَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا, and you killed someone. فَنَجَّيْنَاكَ مِنَ الْغَمْ, so we saved you from distress. غَمْ meaning distress and difficulty. So we saved you from that distress. What is the distress and difficulty? Imprisonment, perhaps even to be killed or lashed, to be disgraced in this world. فَنَجَّيْنَاكَ مِنَ الْغَمِّ, so we saved you from the gham, distress. Also, meaning of this is that Allah forgave him as well. We saved you from the distress. Another meaning of distress is a distress of Allah, of the lack of Allah's mercy. So we saved you from that distress, meaning we gave you the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by forgiving you. وَفَتَنَّاكَ فُتُونَا, and we tested you with a severe test. What was the test? He had to run away, he had to hide, and he had to run away to a different country. Run away from Egypt out of his tremendous fear, and he went off to Madian. فَلَبِثْتَ سِنِينَ فِي أَهْلِ مَدِيَنَا. So you stayed for many years in the people of Madian. ثُمَّ جِئْتَ عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ يَا مُوسَى. Then you came back upon my qadr, my decree, O Musa. So can you see how Musa alayhi salam grew in Allah's mercy? Then he did something wrong, then Allah forgave him, then he went away for many, many years from what his real responsibility would be. Then he comes back to the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And upon the qadr of Allah, Musa alayhi salam is back. And so this verse, ثُمَّ جِئْتَ عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ يَا مُوسَى, makes me think, you know, sometimes, you know, when your life progresses, you think like, subhanAllah, you know what, my life is like a jigsaw puzzle. It's just filling up, you know. And it's like Allah azza wa jal is filling up the jigsaw puzzle, and you know, I'm one of the pieces. And sometimes when you meet people, and then when people come and work with you, help you, you think like, subhanAllah, you know, it's like I'm just being led by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm just fulfilling Allah's qadr. And it just makes you feel that. And that's exactly what Allah says here. ثُمَّ جِئْتَ عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ يَا مُوسَى. But this should never ever make you feel that you don't have choice. I mean, I have a choice. And shall I open my right hand or left hand? I can choose whichever hand right now. But you end up finding that the hand that you end up choosing is the hand that actually is upon the qadr of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَاصْطَنَعْتُكَ لِنَفْسِي. اصْطَنَعْ means to choose. وَاصْطَنَعْتُكَ لِنَفْسِي. And I've chosen you for myself. اذهب انت, so go you wa akhuka and your brother bi ayati, with my signs, wala taniya fi dhikri, and do not ever be weak and slow or hesitate regarding my remembrance. Do not ever hesitate in my remembrance. Meaning, as you're walking, as you're talking, as you're speaking, as you're moving, as you're doing, then remember me. Remember me at every step. Remember me so that you don't do something wrong and so that you don't do sins. And this is a verse that shows that what will give you strength and power, ikhwani, is dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is why most of us, unfortunately, we spend too much time thinking and strategizing. What we should do more is to make dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah will solve the problem for you. Allah will clear the road for you. Allah will, inshallah, solve your cash flow problems, money problems, family issues, issues with between you and other human beings. He will solve it for you, right? And that can only happen with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Idhaba, go both of you ila Fir'aun, to Fir'aun. Innahu tagha, for verily he has transgressed. And what is a transgression? He has said that he is Allah. And also his transgression is the harm that he brought upon people. And also his transgression is that he has bellied the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal, right? فَقُولَا لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. The amazing thing is, despite the fact that Allah says that Fir'aun has tagha, or Fir'aun has transgressed all limits, Allah says, فَقُولَا لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا, and say to him a soft, gentle word. Yani, you know, it just bamboozles me that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite the arrogance of this tyrant, tells Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to tell him a gentle word. You know, a gentle word. It just shows you that it doesn't matter who or how bad that person is that you're speaking to. They're not going to be worse than Fir'aun, right? They're not going to be worse than Fir'aun, unless it's Iblis, right? So if it's not going to be worse than Fir'aun, then how do you speak? Like, for example, you might have a family member that doesn't pray. How do you speak to them? Do you say roughly, rudely? Do you raise your voice and your tone is condescending? What about a family member or even your parents that might be doing something wrong? Let's say taking riba. Do you speak to them in an arrogant manner, as if Huda has come to you, not to them? And you know, sometimes when Islam enters into your heart and you discover Islam, it is very, very common to have a problem. And that problem is called self-righteousness. Many of us suffer from this problem when we discover Islam, is that we suddenly become self-righteous. We have this self-entitlement, as if we are righteous, we know, others don't know. And we forget mercy, and we forget that even the prophets of God were told to have قَوْلَ لَيِّنَا with Fir'aun. So what about our family members and our brothers and sisters and our neighbors and others and our circle of influence? Why is it that we are hard and harsh with them? Why are we not gentle and soft and kind with them? طيب? So this is something we must be extremely wary of, and we must be very careful to not do, which is to be rude, to be rough. Rather, da'wah is done gently and softly. And then there are different levels. You know, you build up, you don't do it in the same level. Just like, remember we took in Surah Maryam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger, which is Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he spoke to his father, he started off, why do you worship that which can't hear and that which does not cannot see? Oh, my father, knowledge has come to me, so listen to me. Oh, my father, I am afraid you might be worshipping shaitan. Oh, my father, I'm afraid that you might actually go to Jahannam. Can you see that? Different levels, right? So it starts off slow and gentle, and then it gets more and more. And that's also what we notice in the speech of Musa alayhi salam to Fir'aun, that he starts gently, 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 and then he starts getting higher and higher. And so it's really critical, my brothers and sisters in Islam, that we do a similar pattern in the way that we do da'wah. We start gentle and then we get harder. So Allah says, فَقُولَا لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى. So tell him a soft and gentle word. Perhaps he may يَتَذَكَّر, he may remember who he really is and therefore have humility. أَوْ يَخْشَى, or that he may fear me. And so here Allah says this, knowing that Fir'aun is haughty and proud, because Allah is teaching us that this is the manner of da'wah. It starts gentle and soft. And it also shows the hilm of Allah, hilm meaning the forbearance of Allah. That despite the excesses of Fir'aun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has so much hilm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents the haqq to the people in the gentlest of ways. And that is why, ikhwati, many a times when we are corrected in a hard way, it's probably because we didn't correct ourselves when the da'wah came to us gently. And it is entirely possible that Allah would have shown us His signs and made the haqq apparent to us if we had done things gently, and gently would have come to us, but we did not pay attention. And this is why, ikhwati, sometimes, when the truth comes to us, it is very hard. Because when it did come to us early on, we didn't pay attention, it was coming gently. So be very careful. Don't ever become haughty and proud, and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ رَبَّنَا إِنَّا نَخَافُ أَن يَفْرُطَ عَلَيْنَا. قَالَ, they both said, رَبَّنَا, our Lord, إِنَّا نَخَافُ, verily I'm afraid, أَيَفْرُطَ عَلَيْنَا, that he should had فَرْط عَلَيْنَا, that he should transgress upon us, أَوْ أَن يَطَغَى, or that he will harm us, or that he will يَفْرُطْ عَلَيْنَا, meaning he will deal with us swiftly, أَوْ أَن يَطَغَى, or he will transgress upon us, right? We are very, very afraid. Ya Rabbana. What did Allah say? قَالَ لَا تَخَافَ. Allah said to them, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Why should you be afraid? You have Allah with you. You have the angels supporting you. You have Rabbana who's guided you and showed you. You have Allah opening your chest up. Allah has told you how to speak. So do not be afraid. Rather go. Yeah. And so this is why here Allah is telling Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to do the greatest jihad. What is the greatest jihad? The scholars of Islam and the authentic hadith of the Prophet ﷺ said, the greatest jihad is to speak the truth to a tyrant. To speak the truth to a tyrant is the greatest jihad. Yeah, and this is very critical, brothers and sisters, that we try and speak the truth to whoever it is that wants to stand up against us, and that we portray the haqq to them, and inshallah ta'ala, we do not fall into the traps. قَالَ لَا تَخَافَا إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا, verily I'm with you both. أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى, I hear and I see. I hear and I see. So therefore, can you see what he says? Allah said, إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا, verily I'm with you both. Therefore, the scholars of Islam talk about the ma'iyah of Allah Azza wa Jal. When Allah is with people, what does it mean? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'm with you, so it means two things. It doesn't mean, please, no one should understand that from that Allah is everywhere. Allah is with me, so that Allah is with you, therefore Allah is with him. It should not be understood that Allah is everywhere. No, that's not true. No one's ever said Allah is everywhere except for some very deviant Jahmis. And now, unfortunately, this belief of the Jahmiyyah has become very common that Allah is everywhere. No, Allah is everywhere with his knowledge, not with his presence and with his essence. That is not the case. So what does this mean? إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا. So it means two things. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with everyone by knowledge, right? So, لَا يَكُونُ مِن نَجْوَى ثَلَاثَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ رَابِعُهُمْ وَلَا خَمْسَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ سَادِسُهُمْ وَلَا أَدْنَى مِن ذَلِكَ وَلَا أَكْثَرَ إِلَّا هُوَ مَعَهُمْ أَيْنَمَا كَانُوا ثُمَّ يُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا عَمِلُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. What does Allah say? Allah says, there is no group of three except he's a fourth, and there's no group of five except he's a sixth. And there is no group that is higher in number or lower in number except that he is with them. And then on the day of judgment, he will tell them what they used to do. So here this verse tells us about the knowledge of Allah. That Allah Azza wa Jal is present with everyone by knowledge. As for his special friends, they are the Anbiya, the Awliya, the Sadiqeen, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada, the Salihin. With these people, Allah is with them with more than just knowledge. Allah is with them with his help, with his mercy, with his forgiveness, with his love, with every form of aid that they need. So this is what is meant by إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا, verily I'm with you both, meaning I'm with you both with my help and my support, not just my knowledge, but beyond that, I'm with you both with my help and support. Now the Arabs of the desert used to say ma'a, with, to mean that they are not physically with, but somehow their presence is felt. An example of that is the Arabs of the desert used to say, "Kunna fit tariq, kunna nasiru fit tariq, wal qamaru ma'ana." We were traveling on the road whilst the moon was with us. What does that mean? It means that it was with us with its light, not that it was actually physically with us at all, right? Qala innani ma'akuma asma'u wa ara. Verily, I'm with you both. I hear and I see. Fa'tiyahu. So come to him. Faqula. So say to him, Inna Rasula Rabbika fa'arsil ma'na bani Israel. We are the messenger from your Lord. So send ma'na with us, bani Israel, the children of Israel. Wala tu'adhibhum, and do not punish them. قَدْ جِئْنَاكَ بِآيَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكَ, we have come to you with signs from your Lord. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَى مَنِ اتَّبَعَ الْهُدَىٰ, and the peace be upon those who follow the guidance. So, straight away, they made their case. We are the messengers of your Lord. Believe in Allah and send the Banu Israel with us. Do not punish them. For indeed, you have done excesses upon them. You've hurt them a lot. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَى مَنِ اتَّبَعَ الْهُدَىٰ, peace be upon those who follow the guidance. إِنَّا قَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْنَا, it has been revealed to us, أَنَّ الْعَذَابَ عَلَى مَنْ كَذَّبَ وَتَوَلَّى, verily, the punishment will be upon the one who lies, وَتَوَلَّى, and turns away from my remembrance. Because that is exactly what Fir'aun was doing. He was lying to himself, because he knew in himself that he is not God. And then, تَوَلَّى, and then he turns away from the guidance out of arrogance. And that is exactly what Fir'aun was doing. قَالَ فَمَنْ رَبُّكُمَا يَا مُوسَى, so he said, Ya Musa, who is your Lord? قَالَ رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, رَبُّنَا is the one who gave everything to us. خَلْقَهُ, and he gave every single thing its creation, meaning he created everything. ثُمَّ هَدَى, then he guided. And this is the main purpose of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He creates, then he guides. And that is why we cannot simply say, as a philosopher say, he creates and then he doesn't guide. No, that's not true. And the philosophers say he might have created, but then he left the creation and doesn't interfere. That's wrong. And also to think that he guides, but then he didn't create, is nonsensical. Why would he guide if he was not creating? And how could he guide creation if he did not create them? So definitely he created and then he guided them. قَالَ فَمَا بَالُ الْقُرُونِ الْأُولَىٰ, so what about the people of the past? The generations of the past, what about them? قَالَ عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي, he said, the knowledge of this is with my Lord. فِي كِتَاب, in a book, which is لوح المحفوظ, everything is written. What is their affair? What happened to them? Your forefathers? All of this has been written in a book. لَا يَضِلُّ رَبِّي وَلَا يَنْسَى, my Lord does not make a mistake, nor does he forget. He does not make a mistake, nor does he forget. As against Musa, as against Fir'aun, who does make mistakes and does forget. الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضُ مَهْدًا, the one who has made this earth a mahd. Mahd meaning a place of work and a place which is like a firash, a place for you to move about and also to grow your crops on. وَسَلَكَ لَكُمْ فِيهَا سُبُلًا, and he has put therein subul, which is paths so that you can go on them. وَأَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً, and he revealed from the heavens water. فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ, and through that water he has brought out أَزْوَاجًا مِنْ نَبَاتٍ شَتَّى, he has brought out أَزْوَاج, meaning different types of species from the نَبَات, from the نَبَات, which is a plantation, شَتَّى, different types of plantations. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought this out. And why is Musa alayhi wasallam giving this example? Number of reasons. Number one is to tell him about how Allah created you. That just like he brought you out from this earth and you were created from the clay, in the same way, just to give you an example, Allah brings out crops. Number two is to give him remembrance of the resurrection. In the same way as this barren earth gives rise to crops, in the same way on the day of judgment, Allah will give rise to the bodies and blow the soul back into them, because in the same manner. فَأَخْرَجْنَا بِهِ أَزْوَاجًا مِّن نَبَاتٍ شَتَّى, so we brought out from it, from all types of plantations, different things. كُلُوا وَرَعُوا أَنْآمَكُمْ, eat and grow your, and rear your cattle. إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي النُّهَىٰ, verily in these are signs for those who ponder. Those who ponder about the day of judgment, those who ponder how they came about, those who ponder about the ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who ponder about the perfectness of this whole system, how it works, all of this, these are signs for those who really ponder. The very fact that Allah brings out things from water are signs. Incidentally also, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that on the day of judgment, when the plains of the day of judgment are created, then Allah will cause the human beings to come out of their graves after water, after a little bit of rain that falls on the plains of resurrection. So once the water falls on the plains of resurrection, then people will come out of their graves. And inshallah, in the same way as Allah causes seedlings to grow after a little bit of water, in the same way Allah will cause human beings to come out of their graves through the same way. Kulu wa ra'u an'amakum, eat and look after your cattle. Inna fi dhalika la ayatin li ulin nuha. We will stop here inshallah ta'ala, ya ikhwati, for today. And I think it's a nice place to stop inshallah. And we have another 3 days to go, and we will finish off Surah Taha inshallah. And we will take a large chunk tomorrow, and then the day after, and then the day after inshallah, until we finish off Surah Taha. Zakumullah khair. Thank you once again. It might actually, by the way, go to 4 days, just in case, because I've got a lot more tafsir coming up, especially when it comes to Samiri and others, inshallah. So you might push it to four sessions, inshallah ta'ala. With that, bi'idhnillah, I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bless us from what we studied today, to make it on our Mizan al-Hasanat, to bless us with it, and to keep our iman strong, inshallah. Until tomorrow, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.